I'm one of those people who can't dance. I can't dance, and when I do, I kind of look a little like that. Well, that's a happy dance, but actually when I do it, it looks a little more like this. But that doesn't stop. That's the that's Farmer Hoggett from the movie Babe, by the way. See the pig on the couch. The truth is, just like Farmer Hoggett, that doesn't stop me from dancing anyhow, right? And it usually happens when I'm really happy about something and I'm all alone. And I do it just to praise God. It's a natural thing, you know, when you're happy about something. Even my lab, Max, does it when he wants to play. You know, he just bounces. It's just what he does. And this kind of dancing you do in moments like that is far less self-conscious than, you know, some of us grew up in the 70s, and it's like, you know, very, very different thing than Saturday Night Fever. It's dancing that takes us out of ourselves. You find yourself less self-conscious and not worried at all about what other people think. And I mention this because it's all about the attitude of our hearts and how that shows up when we communicate with God. This is important because sometimes it's our attitude that's the very difference between moving heaven and earth when we pray. Read through Scripture and you'll see a recurring theme throughout Genesis, from Genesis through Revelation. You see that God opposes pride and loves humility. Last week we looked at growing lower in our relationship with God, becoming more childlike. And we're going to continue with kind of a variation on that theme this week, the vital importance of thinking less about ourselves and more about Him. Or to put it in a way that sounds a little more challenging, humbling ourselves before God. Here's some verses from Scripture that show us why this is important, how much this matters. Just a few. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Though the Lord is great, He cares for the humble. Note this, but He keeps His distance from the proud. I live in a high and lowly place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And then lastly, coming at it from another angle, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Humility is so precious to God, and there's a beautiful living picture of it in a familiar passage of Scripture. So as we read it, I want to ask you to look for attitudes and body language in this account of Jesus' conversation right before He raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, kids, put on your seatbelts and take out your Evelyn Woods speed reading, because we're going to move. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in Me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that You are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. What you see in this passage are two sisters with two very different responses to Jesus. Asanda Hayward, who's a writer that's leading a group of moms at her church and praying through prayers for prodigals, pointed this out to me recently. She noticed that both Mary and Martha said the same thing to Jesus. Here it is in verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And here it is again in verse 32. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Hassandra pointed out that Martha got there first. Martha said it first. But Jesus just stands there when she does. But after Mary says it to him, Jesus is deeply moved and then asks them to take him to Lazarus. And so the question is, what is going on? What is the difference here? Let's read all of verse 32 together. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Hassandra looked at that and said, "Posture is everything." They said the same thing, but only one moved heaven. And if you think about it, Martha looks almost detached by comparison. Let's look a little more at Martha's conversation with Jesus. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Can you see that? What's going on here? What she says is true enough, but something is lacking. And what is lacking is closeness and relationship with Jesus. I'm reminded of something that Tony Campolo said years ago when I was a Midler student at Princeton Seminary, and he came to speak to a group of evangelical students, and he said that, you know, being here at Princeton Seminary reminds me of Mary at the tomb on Easter morning. And he paused for a moment, and then he said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." The point was that there was so much emphasis upon so many other things other than a relationship with the Lord of heaven and earth. And what you see here in this conversation with Martha is that she's engaging Jesus with her head, but her heart isn't in it. And Jesus seems to go there if you take a close look. He turns the conversation in a very personal direction. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Now watch this. "Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. So what you see here is that Mary and Martha, in some ways, they both believe, but they seem to be in a different place with their faith. Martha believes all the right things, but she doesn't apply them to Jesus personally in the moment. There's almost a disconnect there. And I'm afraid that I can relate to that more often than I'd care to admit. It's all too easy for us to say the right things when we're praying or praising God or singing without letting ourselves go deeper into the thought of who He is. And you see this with Martha elsewhere. Think of another earlier time when Martha was so busy doing things, and she's doing good things. She's doing things for Jesus. But she actually scolds Jesus because Mary is sitting at her feet. Here it is. You know the conversation. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." She's so focused on the things around her that she loses sight of Him. We can do that, can't we? But when Mary goes to Jesus on this day here, and on the day that she's grieving her brother, what does she do? She goes right back to Jesus' feet again. And this isn't the only time. You'll see it again later. In just a bit, when Jesus is at Bethany getting ready to go to the cross, it's Mary who takes the perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes His feet with her hair. Mary was so used to being at Jesus' feet. It wasn't just her physical posture. It was the position of her soul before Him. And what Mary does in that is the tipping point that moves Him to carry out what He had already planned to do: raise Lazarus. You know, there's something about a humble heart that God dearly loves. A heart that rests in Him, that doesn't demand its own way, but bows before Him first. And that moves Him. We see that. We saw it in the scriptures we read. God keeps His distance from the proud, right? One place it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, but that's just the beginning. In giving grace, what He gives us is Himself. Oh, to have a heart that rests in Him. That doesn't just go to Him when I want Him to answer a prayer. That doesn't go to Him just as a last resort. That doesn't just go to Him because I want to have an experience of Him. But that goes to Him as a first resort. To bow before Him, to humble myself. Not because he wants us to grovel, but because a love relationship with Him is everything. Everything. And not because we want him to answer our prayer a certain way. He sees right through that. But if we go to him humbling ourselves, and the prayer isn't answered, still, what he gives us, he draws near to the humble and strengthens them with his perfect love. And so Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he," what? "Cares for you." Oh, to do that. To do that. To be more like Mary with our cares, if we loosen our grip on them and place them at his feet, somehow they become lighter and we do along with them. And that's the thing about making less of ourselves and more of Jesus. The thought of God, all that he is, all that he's done, all that he's promised, helps us. And more than just that, if he doesn't change our outward circumstances, he changes us within, and we find ourselves blessed. Often blessed so unexpectedly because we weren't looking for that. We were just looking for him. Oh, it's true, it's true. When you place yourself at Jesus' feet, you are in the very best position for him to lift you up. May we pray. Oh, Lord, we need your help to do this. To humble ourselves, to turn from ourselves, to turn to you, to make more of you. But we praise you that you promise that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And because it is, Lord, you meet us. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us even when we can't feel it. You are there. So teach us, Father, we pray, how to do this. How to just be at your feet, Lord Jesus, to wait on you, to love you, to fill our hearts and our minds with you as we go through the day. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh that we may be about these very things. Keep us from distraction and bring us to yourself. Lord, it's amazing what your word says about you, that because you humbled yourself, God set you above every name. Lord, you can show us how. And we praise you for your perfect humility and love. And if you've come this morning feeling at a distance from Jesus, oh, it is so important that you know that he looks on you not with judgment, but with love. Oh, he wants to deal with our sins. He wants us to help. He wants to help us leave them behind. but it's His love that helps us do that. And as we turn to Him and to His cross, the beautiful thing about His cross is that He bends lower than we are to lift us up. So no matter how low you may be this morning, know that you are loved. And as you and I come to Him and just pray, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with You. I want to live a new life with You. Save me. He will. Because His love is that good. And His grace is that strong. And it's not just words. We've seen it in Jimmy. We've talked about that. We've seen it again and again. He's done it. And He'll continue to. Lord, we praise You that You set captives free. We praise You that You are stronger than death and hell and every accusation our adversary may make. You, our beautiful Savior, have spoken life to us, and we bow before You in Your love. Amen.